Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, we can't do it alone. Wake up everybody to MPH Radio. Today's theme is Land Where My People Rest, Communities in Struggle. We welcome you on the 15th day of April, and we entertain you with more missing pages. And to help us fill out some of these missing pages, we have with us a special guest, Brother John Standback and Brother Harvey Jones. They are community activists in their region, and they will share with you some current struggles and issues that are going on in their community. Again, our theme is Where My People Rest, Communities in Struggle. But like always on Missing Pages of History, we'd like to first give you something to think about. What is freedom? Then that will follow by some Black MPH Black Mini Facts with Susie. Then we have a message to the community for Alvin Jones. Then after those segments, we'll come to our major discussion today with our special guest on the theme, Land Where My People Rest, Communities in Struggle. But before I go any further, I want to give y'all something to think about, words of encouragement that comes from the people. And it's stated that life never seems to be the way we want it, but we live in the best way we can. There is no perfect life, but we can feel it with perfect moments. Always remember, be kind, be fair, be honest, be truthful, and all of these things will come back to you. That's the message for today. Remember that. So at this point in time, you're going to ask everyone to give you something to think about. Put on your thinking cap. We could talk about this concept of freedom. You know, freedom is something often talk about. Millions of people have died over it, and we're still dying over it, trying to figure out what is this thing called freedom. So here we can give you the concept of freedom based upon certain historical figures who gave us their sense of what freedom means to them. Starting with W.E.B. Du Bois, he stated, "The cost of liberty is less than the price of repression." Let me repeat that. The cost of liberty is less than the price of repression. Thurgood Marshall stated, "In recognizing the humanity of our fellow beings, we pay ourselves the highest tribute." In recognizing the humanity of our fellow beings, we pay ourselves the highest tribute. That's by Thurgood Marshall. And by Coretta Scott King, she stated, "Hate is too great a burden to bear. It injures the hater more than it injures the hated." And repeat that by Coretta Scott King. She stated, "Hate is too great a burden to bear. It injures the hated, but it injures the hated more than it injures the hated." So we have given you three definitions of freedom. How do they fit into your reality? Think about it. We can discuss that later on during the day, during this program. So right now, we're going to move along. We're going to bring in Susie for MPH Radio. She's going to give us some MPH Black benefacts. We'd like to welcome her to Missing Pages of History. Welcome, Susie.
Good evening. Hi, I'll be giving you the Black benefacts from the PRSB calendar of 2021. On April 11th, we had Spelman College for African Women is found in Atlanta, Georgia in 1881. Also on that date, we had Amin Ben Bella, Algerian socialist revolutionary and first president of Algeria, died on this day in 2012. On the 12th, Philadelphia's Free African Society, organized by Richard Allen and Absalom Jones in 1787. On the 13th, we had the Colfax Massacre of 1873, over 300 Africans killed by the White League at courthouse in Louisiana for defending voting rights. And also on the 13th, the British barbarians killed hundreds and wounded thousands at a peaceful demonstration in India in 1919. On the 14th, we had the slaughterhouse cases. U.S. Supreme Court ruling substantially weakens 14th Amendment protections for Africans in the U.S. in 1873. And last, on the 15th of April, we had the African Freedom Day declared at all African People's Congress, People's Conference in Ghana in 1958. The Conference of Independent African States opened in Accra, Ghana in 1958. And also the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, was founded in 1960. I've given you a few Black benefacts from the PRP, the PRSP calendar of 2021.
We'd like to thank you, Susie, for your MPH Black benefacts. We hope people have took some notes, and remember, we are a historical people. We are a historical people. We are people with history every day. It becomes very important to understand our history, but to protect it and preserve it. So put your little Black minute facts in your book and live them on a daily basis. Don't never let no one tell you that you do not have value and your people don't have value. You are not contributing to humanity. Definitely is something that you will never find in any history book if it's the truth. African people have made history, they continue to make history, and we are history-making people. So thank you, Susan, for your Black Minute Facts. We next will go to some inspiring commentary, always by Brother Alex. He has a message this morning he wanted to share with our community. Brother Alex, we'd like to welcome you to MPH Radio. What is your message to our community today?
Well, my message to the community today, and first of all, I would like to thank you, Mr. Lee, and I'd like to give myself an early birthday gift of saying that my birthday is next week because I'm reaching one of those milestones, and I won't say over the air what it is, but we'll just say I'm getting there. But anyway, minutes after the show on April 1st of this year, I got a call from a friend who was an attorney. Being April 1st, I wasn't sure if he was serious or not. He said that he loved my reading, but felt that I had made a mistake to not to have mentioned one of the most important letters from prison in history. As we talked, I began to remember this letter because many use quotes from it every day, as it became a mainstay of the civil rights movement. I felt very ashamed and promised him a response today. I really felt bad about not mentioning the letter, since two of the Democrat members of the Tennessee House of Representatives were expelled on April 6th, and both recited quotes from this famous letter from jail. House members Justin Jones and Justin Pearson eloquently showed a passion for gun reform after a traumatic school shooting in the state where the female shooter fired 152 rounds of ammunition at the Covenant Presbyterian School in Nashville, Tennessee. The shooter killed three children, including the pastor's daughter, the school's director, a substitute teacher, and an extremely well-liked custodian. These young Black men were fed up with the politics of the lawlessness in America by conservative politicians. Many who voted for their expulsion thought it was their duty to send a message to liberals who wanted more common sense responsibility on owning and buying weapons, especially assault guns. These young men were reseated in the House this past week and have been speaking out for the victims of gun violence. They found comfort in a letter that needs to be remembered and discussed because in all its entirety, it speaks to all the injustices we are suffering from today. They have become heroes to their communities by standing with the voters who put them in office to support seeking legal gun control. I cannot go anywhere and not experience how the letter addressed April 16, 1963, has been a mainstay of my feelings for myself, my family, my community, my country, my world family of man, and most importantly, my personal relationship with my God. The most concentration of how one must survive the prison of society as he is trapped by a system of injustice and racism. Letters from a Birmingham jail. As one hears thunder and sees lightning in the distance, he will seek shelter from the storm. Man's work now rests as God's work began to restore life on earth. A human being confined in a small space and held in a metal cage with concrete is demoralizing and cruel. It is a sentence by other men who create laws of justice and hold one accountable for one's severe reactions to harm of one's neighbor or possession. Laws are made not to be broken but enforced on society to keep the common man and woman within a bond of servitude to authority. I have always seen going to jail as shameful, degrading, humiliating, unproductive, ignorant, and self-destructive. With imprisonment of any kind, a person is tasked to cope with the length of their sentence, separation from their loved ones, the stress of the prison environment, their compliance to forced rules, poor health care, and a poor diet, choice of foods that seldom change. This can lead to delusions, paranoia, depression, medical issues, and post-traumatic stress. There are over 6 million persons incarcerated in some form of political or immigrant detention, house arrest in a city, county, state, federal, or terrorist-associated facility in the United States and its territories. More than half of these individuals did not commit a violent crime. Many cannot afford the bail to set, while others have taken a plea deal for crimes they did not commit, but say no way out if their case went to court. The shame to the individual and their family is beyond the pains of many who accept their fate when they know their sentence was an unjust one. The effects on the brain is most dangerous as it turns the individual against reality. To deal with the fear of psychological deterioration has a negative impact on the psyche of a person. The loss of freedom and liberty takes a toll on anyone. The restrictions of daily activities, along with the restrictions on personal security, leaves one in harm's way daily. There's an emotion to harm, and the heart and soul is one in its constant danger of being abused by other inmates. I believe the number one detrimental effect of incarceration is the disconnection from family, friends, and the outside world, and religious faith. Many people are claustrophobic or under extreme pressure, have panic attacks, nightmares, night terrors, and insomnia. They may turn to substance abuse, hostility, self-destructive behavior, profile that becomes an escape from reality. Threats by other inmates, the local jailers, as well as the prison guards who break the rules in the treatment of the confined are often overlooked. As well as on April 16, 1963, is not a good day to be in a jail. Yes, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. found a way to get scraps of paper on which he wrote the famous letter from a Birmingham jail out to his reporters and fellow clergy, as it seemed to be his darkest day and nights in jail that he did not know if he would make it out of. This actual letter now sits in the African American Museum of History, and copies are taught in classes all over the world. I often carry this letter with me as a reminder of Dr. King's lowest point in the struggle, when I needed assurance that tomorrow brings a new day with new possibilities and I must not submit to others' negative character or influence. My faith, my family, my friends are my worldly possession. Without them, I have nothing. With them stands the possibility of my self-confidence to be the best I can be in life. This masterpiece of thought was a direct response to the white published Call for Unity by 8 white clergy for blacks to end their demonstration in Birmingham, Alabama. They called King's open letter for confrontation of the Jim Crow laws in the city as outside agitators who were stirring up trouble. They wanted to stop any more retaliation against segregation and to continue to hinder the Negroes' voting rights by passing voter suppression laws. The letter was known as the letter from the Birmingham jail, and the Negro is your brother. Dr. King called for a united front also of the civil rights organizations along with the clergy throughout the world. He saw that the fight for civil rights and social change needed to start with the church first, being the people who flocked to them every Sunday morning, as these hours were America's most segregated hours of worship. Through nonviolence and faith, Dr. King began to build a bridge to all they knew a change was coming to America. The heart of racism in America was being destroyed by an objective to defeat it in the schools, the health systems, the financial systems, the justice systems, and the government. King's historical letter is considered a classic document of civil disobedience, as he mentioned that he could not sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. What affects one directly, affects all directly. Never again can we live with a narrow, provincial, outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the U.S. can never be considered anywhere within its bounds. In making a social analyst of the situation a reason to demonstrate, protest, and seek legal action to enforce the legal rights of the United States Constitution, King wrote of these four basic steps through nonviolence he hoped to achieve in Birmingham. The first is the collection of facts to determine whether an injustice exists. The second, to start a negotiation with the opposite side to find a standing on the issues involved. Third, self-purification of oneself to have faith in what they believe is an injustice in the eyes of God. Fourth, to use direct action of marching, boycotting, protesting, demonstration, voting, and the legal system to acquire justice that has been long sought by the Negro in the U.S. King's passionate quest for social justice became known as Project C, meaning to have a direct confrontation to anyone who was not a supporter of making rapid changes to the welfare of the Negro in America. As he often said, weight spoken by the white man has almost meant never, and that justice too long delayed is justice denied. King spoke many times about the injustice of laws and the disobedience of them, saying an unjust law is no law at all, citing that Alabama and the other states had used all sorts of devious methods to deny the Negro citizens their right to vote and thus preserve its unjust laws and broader systems of white supremacy. King wrote of his views as not as an extremist, but as one who sought legal extremist actions against his oppressive who denied his citizenship rights. He spoke that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. King asserted that the white church needed to take a principled stand, or risk being dismissed as an irrelevant social club. Regarding the black community, King wrote that we not follow the do-nothingness of the complacent, nor the hatred and the despair of the black nationalist. As King wrote about the deplorable conditions that Negroes continue to suffer after over 350 years of waiting for constitutional and God-given rights, the Negro social and justice acceptance in America was moving at a snail's pace. Oppressed people cannot be oppressed forever. The yearning for America and for freedom eventually manifests itself that all my brothers of Asia, Africa, South America, the Caribbean, and the world is moving toward the promised land of racial justice. At last, King wrote of the brave protesters and demonstrators, thousands who had stood and marched for their rights to be acknowledged. He called them the real heroes of the struggle, as he mentioned the 72-year-old woman from Montgomery, Alabama, who did not ride the buses and walk to work. She responded after her wilderness as, "My feet's tired, but my soul is at rest." Yes, the young and old marched with King before his jail, and they were worried about his confinement. Finally, King wrote of the long length of his letter, as he feared it may have been his last correspondence to the world. As King stated, "But what else can one do when he is alone in a narrow jail cell other than write long letters, think long thoughts, and pray long prayers?" Signed, yours for the cause of peace and brotherhood, Martin Jr. Truly, This was a letter from heaven that I treasure. Thank you, Dr. King. And thank you, my listening family. And enjoy your day.
You have just heard a message to the community from Brother Alex Joyner. And we'd like to share with all our listening audience that all commentaries that are articulated on this program are the ideas and thoughts of the author and not necessarily MPH Radio or any of its affiliate or members. If you have any thoughts and ideas you'd like to share, we encourage you to write us at mphradio@yahoo.com. And we'll give you an opportunity to share your thoughts with our community. So at this point in time, we're going to take a station break. And when we come back, we're going to address our theme today with our community activists. And the theme is Land Where My People Rest, Communities in Struggle. We're going to fill in this missing pages of history today. We'll be right back. Don't you go nowhere. This is MPH Radio. Let's teach the children.
Show them all the beauty they possess.
That's right. Find your strength in the people, the almighty people. Let's teach our youth a new way, a better way. You know, I was looking at this quote right here I want to share with you because it ties into today's date as a good example. And I just want to share this little thought with you. It says that it's not the hours you put in, but what you put into the hours that counts. That's interesting because when you look at today's day, as Sister Susan for MPH Black Minifax stated on today's date, we had three significant historical events that took place, at least. And those events were African Freedom Day, declared by the All African People Conference in Ghana in 1958. Then you had the Conference of Independent African States opened in Accra, Ghana in 58. And then you had the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee called SNCC, was founded in 1960. All those things had one thing in common, and that one thing they had in common is that they were all striving towards the liberation of their people, like MPH Radio. We are on the path of liberation, and we want to do this by giving us our people the proper information. Because without information, you can't think. We also want to give your organization, because we're an organization, it helps you to think clearly. At this point in time, we're going to entertain that theme, which is titled, Land Where My People Rest, Community and Struggle. Now, we know life is a struggle. We struggle to live and live to struggle. And there's something going on right now as it relates to this whole issue of African burial grounds. And we'd like to bring in our political activists to talk about their community and this issue of the burial grounds and other communities that are trying to be tampered over. So to get a better understanding of what's going on, we'd like to bring in the individuals who are actually engaged in these battles. We're going to fill in this particular page today, Land Where My People Rest, Community and Struggles with John Stanback and Harvey Jones. We'd like to welcome them to MPH Radio. And we'll start with Brother Harvey. Brother Harvey, we're going to ask you first and foremost, just share a little bit of background about who you are and something about your community and where our listening audience. Brother Harvey, welcome to MPH Radio.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. I appreciate you having us on the program today. My connection to the community that we're going to discuss with you today is that it's an ancestral village that was a plantation called the Cloverland Plantation. And my grandfather and when my father grew up on the land and my grandfather migrated there from the Pamunkey tribe on the east coast of Virginia. Cloverland was a plantation that was bequeathed to different members of the Carter family. And it was approximately 4,000 acres, but it was not the only plantation. There were three plantations in the area. And we have six family cemeteries on the land. Cloverland Thoroughfare, and it's Thoroughfare, Virginia, and it evolved from Thoroughfare Gap, which was a village pre-Civil War that consisted of houses and a mercantile store and a mill, and slaves, Native Americans, and some indentured whites lived and worked on the property. But and it was all centered around something called the Chapman Mill, which was built by Nathaniel Chapman in 1742, I think. Fast forward, eventually Thoroughfare Gap turned into Thoroughfare Village. And Thoroughfare Village was founded after the Civil War by my ancestors, and that became a land that consisted approximately of 130 to 200 acres, depending on the borders that you looked at. One of the things that the listening audience has to understand is that in the South in particular, and in the plantations, people were buried where they dropped. People died in the fields, behind farm houses, the farm buildings, mills, and that's where they were buried. In the case of Thoroughfare, once Thoroughfare Village was established, family cemeteries were established on the property. And over a period of time, Thoroughfare was recognized with the Chapman Mills, an historic site, which was the center of commerce for Thoroughfare Village. But once Thoroughfare Village was established, homes were built by some of my relatives, including my grandfather, other kinds of housing. A school was eventually built, which served as a junior high school and grade school. But more importantly, we're talking about where our people rest, and we have six family cemeteries, and John Steinbeck has joined our coalition and is a very active member in what we call trying to protect and preserve Thoroughfare. Thoroughfare is our history. And I don't really get off on a tangent about our history, but I'll talk about that a little bit later. But we've been in a struggle to cemeteries. Those cemeteries are not imaginary cemeteries that are laying out in a field somewhere where you say this is where people were buried, and you often see that in the media and in pictures, even in National Geographic. In the case of Thoroughfare, we have distinct family cemeteries with headstones that have been identified and numbered by the Department of Virginia State Department of Historic Resources. Some are smaller than others. Some of the cemeteries, if anyone's familiar with how black families operated and how they buried family members, in many cases rocks as opposed to formed headstones were put on top of the graves, and then there were numbers put on the rocks. And the numbers corresponded to the name and the date that was put in one of the family Bibles. However, in Thoroughfare, we have headstones. Now, one of the main issues that we are facing with, and the main issue, I guess, right now, that is an outgrowth of what we call, we established the Coalition to Preserve Thoroughfare. And John Steinbeck will enumerate the different organizations that are members of that coalition, is a diverse coalition representing the community of Thoroughfare, Warrington, Gainesville, and other areas have come together to realize that cemetery and some of the land is under assault. In particular, one of the main family cemeteries that was established, the Scott Cemetery, was destroyed by owners of the brewery at Broad Run, which is next door to the borders of Thoroughfare. But the Scott Cemetery was in Thoroughfare. And what happened was is that land was sold by the county to the owners of the brewery for non-payment of taxes. However, you do understand cemeteries are not taxable in Virginia. That's the first thing. The second thing is they sold this land, and the land included the cemetery. And the owners of the brewery proceeded to destroy the family cemetery, which the archaeologists at the county verified that at least 111 graves were in that cemetery with headstones. Not only did they destroy the cemetery, but they put up a roadblock so you couldn't get down the road to visit one of the other family cemeteries. Now, just to make people understand that in the state of Virginia, there are codes that govern all cemeteries. These codes were put in, acted on by the state legislature, and they're online, not any mystery to find them. And there's cemetery regulations that were updated in May of 2022, and they protect all family cemeteries. They protect all cemeteries. But in our case, our cemeteries were studied by a contractor, the Turner brothers, and they established the boundaries, the longitude and latitude of each cemetery. There are aerial photographs of the cemeteries, and in particular the Scott Cemetery. So it's not, you know, something where, oh, we didn't know the cemetery was there. I have an aerial picture of the cemetery going back to 1923, and it's in the records. So right now, we're in a battle to bring to justice those who destroyed the cemetery and resolve this issue. But more importantly, when we talk about our history, if you are going to tolerate the destruction of where your ancestors are buried, and in this case, buried in what we call certifiable, for the lack of a better term, grounds that were family grounds that were part of the, at one time, the Cloverland Plantation, which became the Village of Thoroughfare, which my ancestors established, the Paytons, the Fletchers, the Allens, the Nickens, and others. If you can't protect the cemeteries, what it's really saying to you, you can't protect your history. It's one of the most sacred things that Black people in this country have. It's one of the things that Black families can point to for their genealogy, for their history, and to have some connection with people who were brought here as slaves unwillingly, but worked the land, cultivated the land, and made many landowners very wealthy, in particular in Virginia, the Carter family. And the Carter family owned the plantation, which we now call Haymarket, the plantation in Gainesville, and the one here in which we call Thoroughfare Gap. Thoroughfare is interesting because Native Americans and slaves intermarried. So you have more than one historical strain that we're dealing with here. There are also Native American burial sites on the property, some of which have been destroyed. And we had archaeological studies done of the property and identified and had reports, some of which are online. Prince William County published the archaeological reports online. So again, none of this is a mystery like we didn't know they were there. And surveys had been done. Some LIDAR radar, which pierces the ground. There was one company that did a study and stopped after 10 minutes because they said there were so many burial sites in Thoroughfare that there had to be a public hearing, which they recommended Commonwealth Attorney's Office that there should be a public hearing about Thoroughfare. Now, I want to go back 25 years or so because Thoroughfare is where we had to fight the Disney Company, which came in and tried to build a park and actually during the night took down fences that surrounded some of the cemeteries. And that really started this movement, and it made the people in Prince William County understand that you're at risk too. Not just Black cemeteries that are at risk. Your ancestral burial grounds are at risk because in Virginia, just drive down any road, you'll see family cemeteries on the property. That's how people were buried. Now, there's an issue also with these data centers that want to be established in Thoroughfare that the Board of Supervisors wants to make Prince William County into one huge data center. So all of a sudden, organizations like the Manassas Battlefield people and others have come to understand that their property, their history, and what they've done is at risk as well. So we have a Board of Supervisors which has acquiesced itself and played politics with Black history. Unfortunately, and John will probably expand on some of this, four of the members on the Board of Supervisors are Black. Four of the members on the Board of Supervisors are Black, none of which have raised a hand to help our cause. Interestingly, it's the three white Republican members which have been advocates for us, two of which visited Thoroughfare. So I think you understand our frustration with that, that in many instances you have people who are elected to positions at the county level that are not residents or have any history of connection to the area. So they have no tie at all and don't have any understanding of how important the area is. So we're in court about this issue, but we have a coalition. We have a Facebook page that my cousin Frank Washington, who is the registered agent for our coalition, because he lives in Thoroughfare and has to drive and see this every day, we're fighting this. But this is a struggle that is not just, you know, one that's unique to Thoroughfare. This is a struggle that many black communities are facing throughout the country, in Maryland, in Florida, in California. And it's an ongoing issue, because what happens is that if your history is not documented, if you can't produce some archaeological studies, is where my ancestors are buried, this is a cemetery, counties will turn the land over to developers to build buildings, and that has happened. That has happened. So Thoroughfare and our struggle is just not important to Thoroughfare Village and Prince William County in the state of Virginia. Our struggle is important on a national level. So we're telling our story, and we're using every means to do that. We have an outpouring of support, and we have other organizations around the country that have called me and other members of my family to ask us doing this. But Brother Robinson, I want to say to you that I've given this some thought, and our history is under attack. If you recall when the 1619 study came out, and all of a sudden there was this all this upheaval about, well, they didn't want this included in the schools. They didn't want this included in the libraries. And it was criticized on Fox News and on other radio channels and by, you know, elected officials at the in the Congress and at the state level, particularly like the governor of Florida, DeSantis, which is assaulting and saying our history is not important. This business of protecting our cemeteries is related to that. And it has exposed an attitude about our history and about respecting where our people lay. So Thoroughfare, we have an active coalition, and we have the law on our side. We know the law. We have studied the law, and we have the community on our side. So this fight is an ongoing issue, but I want to stress to everyone that, yes, we want you to go up, you can look up Thoroughfare in Google for that matter. And, you know, if you want specific information about Thoroughfare and the websites, I'll be glad to offer that later on in the program. So you can look at what has happened. The county has even established a website. So what we've done with them for the past year and a half, and it's a love-hate relationship, because on the one hand, they have done things to support us, and I have to say that in all fairness. And on the other hand, they haven't enforced their laws regarding the protection of cemeteries, because what becomes more important? The success of this microbrewery or the protection of one of the main family cemeteries that we know has over 111 graves. They just bulldozed the land twice. Now they put a fire pit on it. They were shooting fireworks on it. And all those things send the message that your history and your ancestors are really not important. Beer is more important. That because we did not know, or the county did not tell us that the cemetery was there, even though it was clear, because they took the headstones and put them in a dump truck and took them away, that we think that politics is the name of the game. And you got a board of supervisors that has not really addressed the issue. The county has done things because the county admitted they dropped the ball. But this issue has to be adjudicated and resolved before we can move forward and make Thoroughfare into the vision that we have for it. Thoroughfare, you know, could become, the entire Thoroughfare community is an historic site, and there's buildings there, the mill is there. The church, the Oakham Church, which used to be Little Zion Church, which is now the Oakham Church, is a historic site. There are buildings and houses there. It's not an imaginary area, and we can expand on that. It can be an interpretive, educational, historic area. That's what we wanted to have happen. That preserves our history. That protects our cemeteries, and it's a plus for the county, and it's something for other generations to be able to come and visit and look at. The history of Black people in this country has not been addressed or acknowledged properly, given its just due. And we as a people have to stand up and demand that our history is protected, that our history is included in the textbooks, that our history is talked about, that our history is publicized, but more importantly, that our history and where our ancestors lay are protected. So I'll stop there.
Thank you, Brother Harvey. John, can you briefly introduce yourself and add some other description in terms of the nature of this struggle as it relates to the African burial ground and this whole question of building these data centers? So the mic is yours, John.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Africa. So I know that I don't have very much time. Do I have 5 minutes?
No, you got some time. Pick a time. Pick as much time as you want right now. Tell your story.
Okay. I thought we were going to end it too. So,
you got another 35 minutes. You can send this to our 1:30 because this is important information.
Okay.
Tell your story. Just miss some pages.
All right. So my story begins 30 years ago when, as Harvey said, Disney's America decided they were going to build a theme park called Disney's America. It was going to be a historical theme park, and it was the ground zero was more or less a Thoroughfare, but it included very much of the Route 15 corridor and the Bull Run Mountain. And it was just pretty much like it is today. It was back then, it was every single supervisor supported it because there was huge amounts of money. And, the historical importance, the ecological importance, the dam, it was about money. And it was a juggernaut. It had the universal support of all the supervisors and all the developers, and it looked like it was insurmountable. But the community came together. I was part of that. My wife and I were part of that coalition, and we fought and we protested. We signed signatures. We staged boycotts. We elicited support from a number of national groups. And Disney basically collapsed and withdrew, and we preserved the area to some degree. I mean, what happened was a lot of gated communities, a lot of McMansions were built. It wasn't a total victory, but it was at least a partial victory. And so the that were leading the struggle were the Black Indians of Thoroughfare. So it was my friends like Harvey, and especially Vicki Price, who were our elders, who are the historians, because when we're talking about Native history and we're talking about rural African-American history, to a great extent, we're talking about oral history, because pretty much Black history, and particularly rural Black history, has been obliterated. And I would say, you know, nowhere more so than Prince William County, where I live. And the history is really important, because Prince William County, even before the Civil War, was somewhat of a mecca for free slaves and those who had run away. And a lot of them settled in Prince William County. Prince William County actually was an important part of the Underground Railroad. At least one of the people in the John Brown's attack on Harper's Ferry, who was hung, was from Prince William County. So there's a great history here. And so when the town of Thoroughfare came under attack 3 years ago, and I became aware of it, I immediately stepped forward, reintroduced myself. And so there are very strong parallels to Disney. I think the strongest parallel is the support for the data centers. And that originally was pretty much universal. All of the supervisors were supporting the data centers. They set up a data center zone specifically for data centers. They went out and recruited data centers, and then things got out of control. And so they started basically putting up data centers wherever the data centers wanted to, or wherever the residents wanted to cash in and sell their property at enormous, enormous, enormous prices. And so Harvey talked about one of the data centers, which is the they call the Digital Gateway, and we call the Pageland Corridor. And as Harvey said, it was the majority Democrats that really pushed this. And so four of the five Democrats were African American, and they really, really pushed this. And the important thing to understand is that this Pageland Corridor is super important in terms of general overall history, but particularly in terms of African-American history. So you have at least seven historic Black communities. You have Marble Hill. You have Flatiron Corner. And this was the location of Jennie Dean's birth. You have the Thornton School, where the Thornton School used to be. All of this has been obliterated by development already. But now what they want to do is they want to put in over 2,000 acres of data centers. This is on the headwaters of the Occoquan River, which forms the Occoquan Reservoir, which is the major drinking water for the entire of Northern Virginia. So there's a tremendous ecological vulnerability. And then you have, you know, a Flatiron Corner, Thornton School, you have the settlement at Camp Harpen, you have the church where Jimmy Dean is buried, and on and on and on. And all of this has basically been thrown into the trash can, and Thoroughfare is part of this. And what Harvey was very friendly about the county, that the county did certain things, but you need to understand what they did. So first of all, they sold the property on which the cemeteries were located at tax sale. And that was not the county simply saying, oh, you're behind in your taxes. This was the developers that wanted that land and went to the property and wrote letter after letter after letter demanding foreclose on this property, sell this property, sell this property. And they went to heirs, living heirs, and said that, you owe $125,000 in back taxes, and you'll have to pay this immediately. But if you'll just simply sign this waiver, then you won't be responsible for any tax payments, and you might even get a little bit back. So that was the strategy they used. And in the meantime, they totally ignored the residents of Thoroughfare that still live there, and they ignored Oakrum Church, And so basically these were bogus sales that were rushed through. And so, and then Harvey mentioned that the county would not enforce the laws. And it was more extreme than that. So the first thing that happened was the brewery, this was a wooded area with middle growth trees, you know, 100 feet high we're talking about, where the cemetery is located. So they came in with huge tractors and chains, and they ripped out by the roots all of the trees. And then they bulldozed the entire area and removed the headstones and footstones. And then they came in again, and they graded the area all the way down. They removed all of the topsoil, all of the grave markers, obliterated everything. And the county said, stop, and they kept doing it. And the county said, stop, and they kept doing it. So every time there would be a public hearing, I would raise my hand that I would say, you know, you have ordered the brewery to stop this desecration, and they are ignoring you. What are you going to do to enforce the rules? And the answer was, and Harvey can tell you this, the answer was crickets. It was absolute silence. They would not answer this question. And so this went on and on. The grading continued. And then they put in a picnic table, which they used to launch fireworks. This is in the middle of the cemetery. And then last year they put in a fire pit where they had beer and hot dog roast and marshmallow roast, a fire pit right on top of the cemetery. As we're speaking today, they're back at work. They're building a sound stage, and they're turning it into an amphitheater where they're going to be having music and beer. And this goes on and on and on. And that's what the lawsuit is all about. So, and of course, the brewery is using an argument. Their main argument is, well, you know, the county let us do all of this. And so, therefore, it's all right. And they're also trying to say the brewery, the cemetery doesn't exist. So I was there when that announcement was made, and I was sitting next to Ron Turner. And Ron was the person who was hired to survey all of the cemeteries in Prince William County, black and white, all of the family cemeteries. And I think he came up with about 500. And there's actually a webpage which lists all of the cemeteries, including the Scott Cemetery at Oakland Church. So Ron is sitting there next to me, and he turns to me and he said, John, he said, I was there with the county archaeologist. This would have been almost 25 years ago, just before the turn of the century. And he said, John, he said, I was there, and with my eyes, we saw 75 to 100 graves. It was as clear as can be. And now they're saying it doesn't exist. And I'd also like to say that this is going on throughout the nation. If you Google, you know, black cemeteries and development, you'll come up with scores and scores and scores of an example of this kind of thing going on. Here in Bethesda, which is just north of us, you have the Moses Cemetery, which is, if you go there on River Road, a kitty corner across from the historic Macedonia Baptist Church, you will see a giant hole in the ground over 100 yards across and 100 feet deep. And that's what's left of the historic Moses Cemetery. And the headstones were taken away and shipped and were dumped along the Potomac River down in King George County. And they're in the process of being repatriated. So, and then I work with another cemetery in Dumfries. That's in southeastern Prince William County, and that is the Dumfries Slave Cemetery. And that was a cemetery that was also in the process of being developed. It was half destroyed when they built I-95. But we found out that what was happening about almost 20 years ago, and we formed a group called Friends of Dumfries Slave Cemetery. And we also have a web page. So I just like to end this part of our program by saying that the community has come forward in support of Thoroughfare and against this destruction of historic Black communities, and especially historic rural Black communities. And it includes virtually every major historical group, including the Historical Commission, which is appointed by the supervisors. Parts of the Planning Commission have opposed this development. You have every single historical group is opposed. You have every single environmental group is opposed. And many of them have joined the coalition. And so it's a true, united community effort of standing together to right this wrong. And it's a struggle that will continue, and we'll keep fighting until we win.
Thank you, John. Brother Harvey, who are some of the companies or company that is leading the charge to desecrate African cemeteries and trying to take over these communities?
There are many. In the case of Thoroughfare, it's more individual developers. Like John said, if you go online, you can see development in Black cemeteries. You can see the names of some of them. But I want to say there's two things about this business in Thoroughfare, too. Number one, the strategy is, well, if we build enough on the property, can't be reversed, because they're pleading ignorance, so that's impossible. But number two, imagine having a elected official sitting there and not responding at all, and claiming sovereignty all of a sudden to erase themselves from a problem that they created. It goes beyond the pale of reasoning when you think about it, and you can't even call it insulting. It's really just an attack, as John said. It's just an attack, and it's continuing. So we'll see what happens. Go ahead. You had another question.
No, I was just wondering, listening to you talking and the forces that you're dealing with and how they're dealing with you, it sounds like the same method they're using against these communities seems like they're taking a page out of Palestine, how the Palestinians' properties are being bulldozed, how there are laws that they don't have to respect, and how they just go and burn stuff on top of it, hoping that that'll be the end of it. So a lot of times, if we look at issues that's going on around the world, they have a lot of parallels. So I was just thinking that this story sounds very similar. But in terms of this whole question of rules and laws, you said earlier the state, they have laws on the book, but they're not implementing laws. So how does that make the people feel? If you have laws and that wouldn't go by, then ultimately, how are you going to rectify the situation?
Well, that's why we're in court right now to adjudicate that, because the court is going to have to ask that question to the county. Number one, who made these decisions? And number two, why haven't you enforced your laws? And it's really in the Commonwealth Attorney's office right now. The Commonwealth Attorney for Prince William County is going to have to come forward and take some kind of legal action, because they know exactly what's going on. They understand what has happened. I wanted to read something about the code, because there's so much involved about the destruction of cemeteries. I mean, it's very clear. It's a felony, first of all. Now, what do you do to resolve an issue? You're talking about going in and resurrecting, establishing a cemetery. You're not talking about going in and digging up graves, but you have to reestablish the land and the boundaries of the cemetery. At a minimum. But it's a very difficult issue, because we have officials that are supposed to protect the rights of all citizens, you have laws that have been written to do that, colorless laws, mind you, and they're not being enforced. And we have asked that question, and we have attorneys now who are asking that question. We have fortunately had support, financial support from members of the community and others to continue this. This has been going on for a long time. This just didn't start overnight.
Yeah, Harvey, can I add something here?
Yeah.
So I'd like to add something. So the Commonwealth's attorney has consistently over and over and over again, and also the Board of Supervisors, a lawyer, over and over and over again, refused to take any action in spite of the rulings and demands that this desecration stop. So that's an important part of what's going on. The other thing to note about what's going on is that the court itself has thrown roadblock after roadblock after roadblock against us, not permitting electronic filings that should be automatic, forcing manual filings, letting the brewery not respond to the charges that we filed, and then giving them extra time, and on and on and on, and making it very, very difficult to even get into court. And so it is part and process, of this mentality. We live in, in the state of Virginia. It's a Dillon Rule state, which basically means that Richmond and the general pretty much controls everything, and the environment is skewed toward developers and toward corporations, and in favor of capitalism. And if the laws are in the way, then the laws will either be ignored or they will be broken. So in the end, we are going to court at huge expense, and we will be battling in court. But in my opinion, as an activist, the real struggle is going to be on the streets. So Brother Lee, you talked about parallels. You talked about bulldozing in Palestine. I think that's a good example. But wherever we go, so for example, particularly in Africa, you have the IMF and the World Bank that basically support development whereby the farmers are driven off the land in order to plant cash crops or to, mine minerals and so on, and nobody cares. In Central America and Mexico, you had NAFTA, and one of the consequences of NAFTA were millions and millions of campesinos, indigenous farmers that were driven off the land because NAFTA required that Mexico open up its borders to U.S. factory farmed corn, and the poor campesinos were not able to compete and were forced off the land, and many of them traveled north across the border, and so that was one of the big causes of the so-called immigration crisis. So, and anywhere we look, when it's a question of land and people's rights and people's history versus money and, capitalist greed, it's going to be the money and the greed that wins out every time. And it really doesn't matter about the laws. And I think everybody, all the listeners here, and I think just the general public, most people understand this. And my sense is that people are starting to get tired of this and are saying enough is enough. So I'm really optimistic that we will win our struggle and that we will beat back these inappropriate data centers as well. So I just wanted to add that.
Having this program is very important because I've been told on numerous occasions that, I have volumes of information about Thoroughfare, about the lawsuit. We're not fighting just the brewery. We're fighting, as John said, the officials that are supposed to enforce the laws to protect our rights. But this program like this, this forum is important because we have to have forums to tell the story. It's newsworthy, but it's not as newsworthy as the media probably feels as something that one of the presidential candidates is saying or something else, the war in Ukraine or something. But it's newsworthy for people to be educated and understand that rights are being violated for the sake of politics and some money. Human rights. Mm-hmm. And in the case of black people, unfortunately, this is, you know, the beat goes on. It's never stopped. And yeah, there's a level of frustration that I and every member of our coalition has because you just ask yourself, when is it going to stop? And I don't think it's ever going to stop. I really don't think it's ever going to stop. Whenever there's an opportunity to take from someone else, to make a dollar, somebody is going to come up and find a way to try and do it. We think we'll be successful, but we have to stay the course. And that's where we are now. We can't get tired. And we can't give up. So I thank you for having this forum. It just tells a small part of the story, and it really doesn't cover the history of Thoroughfare, and that's why, again, I encourage people to go online, to Google Thoroughfare, to go to the Department of Historic Resources in the state of Virginia, to look up Thoroughfare, because Thoroughfare is part of a broader community in Prince William County that encompasses Haymarket and a lot of other things. So it's important. So I thank you.
Okay, yes, at this point in time, this is MPH Radio. We're talking about issues that are going on in the community Thoroughfare and up in Northern Virginia and how African burial grounds and people land and their history and their culture just being trampled upon so more people can get more rich and more wealthy. Now, there's a lot of lessons we can learn based upon hearing the story. If you fail to learn these lessons, then don't wake up one day and realize you've been in the same position. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to continue the discussion. We have some people on the line who might would like to have a question or make a comment to y'all. And at this point in time, we've asked our listening audience, if you have any comments or questions, please dial 818-337-0016. Hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last four numbers. First, we'll go to our co-host. He's been listening for a while. He may have some thoughts on this issue. We'll go to Brother Alex. Brother Alex, we'll bring you in. Any comments or questions you'd like to add to the discussion?
Yes, and again, I would like to thank both of the gentlemen for presenting us this wealth of information because, as he said, this is our cultural history that's being destroyed. And part of our history should always be told, regardless whether it is verbally or written or digitally or just spoken in family folklore. So we need to know who we are as a people so that we can continue to move forward in our own desire to be successful, because it takes so much uplifting of a person to be considered worth in today's age, as we look at all the social media contacts and different things where people try to be popular for one reason or another. But our culture is popular. That's what we should be proud about. And if we're not proud about our culture, somebody else is going to take it away from us and say that it didn't exist. Just like our homes, our schools, our churches, our hospitals, at one time they were segregated. And as they are being destroyed and removed or whatever, and new businesses are sitting in their place, we're beginning to forget who we are. And in doing so, we can turn on each other by not knowing whose family is who. But our ancestors were entrusted with that when they came here, and it was so important for family to know each other, family to respect one another, family to stay together, to be bonded unto death. Even though those graves sometimes lay unmarked with only a number on them, And that is amazing to think about. And I want our listeners to think about that just for a moment. As we walk in cemeteries now, we hunt for names on the grave. Imagine you only got a family Bible, script of paper, and they're saying, this is Aunt so-and-so. This is Uncle so-and-so. This is Grandma so-and-so. So this is hard for me to absorb right now because, you know, we just passed Easter holiday and most of my family are in cemeteries. And as I go there and I notice how unkept, some of those cemeteries are because they are in, you know, black neighborhoods and they're either managed by the city or managed by, you know, private people. But yet and still, the care is not there. And if I go over to the white cemeteries and I notice how nice everything sits and a section often is always mowed and kept up. So they are keeping their history important so their children can go back and see so-and-so. But we aren't doing so. But I appreciate, you know, today and both gentlemen, you know, giving us all this wealth of information. And I plan myself to go to Thoroughfare, Virginia, and take a look around and just see, you know, what our history used to be. And try and build on that and help these gentlemen, if they, you know, will communicate with me back and forth, help these gentlemen any way I can, you know, to uplift them and give them support and anything I can do to make sure that, you know, this struggle that they're in is successful. Because we need to turn things around as far as our history is concerned as these cemeteries and other structures are being destroyed and paved over. And we're being forgotten. And I'd like to turn it back over to you, Ms. Lee.
Okay, let's go to our next caller. Caller will bring you in at 6057. Any comments or questions for our guest today? 6057. Welcome to MPH Radio.
Thank you for having me. Revolutionary greetings. To the guests and the moderators. I'm just tuning in, but I heard you discussing a Thoroughfare and the burial ground, and it's important that we preserve our burial grounds because that's an important part of our history. And around the area where I organize, Central Park in New York was built over a predominantly African community. A lot of people don't know that, but that community was destroyed for the sake of urban development. And today, Central Park stands over where that community used to be located. I don't recall the name of the community right now, but you know, it's happening in a lot of parts of the U.S. where predominantly African people live, and for the sake of urban development. Lands and institutions are being taken away or destroyed, and people are being displaced. And that's a major reason why our people don't have a good sense of history because of that. So we must continue to fight against that, to preserve that, so that people in the future have a sense of what happened in the past, how it happened, and, take appropriate action to do something about it.
Any response, John?
Thank you, Brother Anthony.
Brother Harvey?
So, yeah. So, Harvey, can I go first? Because I need to get off the call here in a couple minutes. And I just wanted to say something. So, Thoroughfare, I was introduced to Thoroughfare as a Black Indian community. There was a book written by Vincent Harding. It was called There is a River. It's still readily available. You can get a used copy probably for $2 or $3. It's called There is a River, and the subtitle is The Black Freedom Struggle from the Beginning, from 1619 or whatever, through Reconstruction. And he has a chapter, I think it may be chapter 3, but he talks about how when African slaves were brought here from Africa, you know, he talks a lot about the resistance struggle, but one of the things he talks about is that the Native Americans were welcoming of Black slaves that escaped. And also, by the way, interestingly, European bond slaves who escaped their slavery and who escaped to Native villages where they were totally accepted into the tribe. So this is a really important history, and I think that's what makes Thoroughfare so important, not only as a local issue, a state issue, but also a national and international issue, is because, you know, it's a living, you know, representative of what Penny Williams and Gabby Tayac called the indivisible bond between Blacks and Native Americans, that it cannot be separated. You know, I wanted to throw that there too, and to remember and to understand that Thoroughfare is a Black Indian community.
Thank you, John. Brother Harvey, before you said something, let me take this up with Carlo. Could that be? This caller has been waiting real patiently.
Fine.
Caller number 7236. Welcome to MPH Radio. Your comment or question? Caller 7236. Comment or question, please. Well, hold on 1 second. Let me get you on my board, caller. You in there? Now you can speak, caller. 7236.
Yes. I understand that King Carter was the largest slaveholder in the United States. And I wondered which counties in Virginia his plantations included. Prince William's County, did that include Orange and Warren County and others? Is the Virginia Commonwealth University working with the folks in Wayfair to protect the cemeteries and protect the land, and is it a possibility that it could become similar to Williamsburg, a living museum? So my question is two parts. What counties other than Prince William's County did the King Carter plantations extend into in Virginia? And is there a possibility of Wayfair becoming a living museum?
Okay. You want me to take that, Lee? Those are two very interesting questions. The Carter family, you're right, was the largest landholder and the largest slave owner in the state of Virginia. The land was bequeathed from King George, I believe, to the Carter family, to different generations, but it included Prince William County, Charles County, Rappahannock, Lancaster County, the Northern Neck property that I can think of right offhand. I want to tell an interesting story, Lee, if I may, real quickly. We were having an event on the mall in front of the Native American Museum, because 8 different tribes passed through what they called Thoroughfare Gap. It was a gap in the mountains, which is now Route 66, part of Route 66, and it runs past the Chapman Mill. But this was a gap in the mountains. And it was used by 8 or 9 different Indian tribes right off hand. I can give you the names. Served as like trading route in a Silk Road trading route. Excuse me. When the settlers arrived, they would not let the Native American tribes go west of the Blue Ridge Mountains, so they were concentrated in that area. And that's how, and when they brought slaves over, Native Americans and slaves worked the property. One of the things I did not mention is that in the establishment of Thoroughfare Township, Thoroughfare Village, it was established by my ancestors who became freedmen and Native Americans, some of which were on the Trail of Tears and escaped and came back to Thoroughfare. So I just wanted to give you that bit of history. Regarding the establishment of Thoroughfare, it's interesting what the caller says. Yes, our vision ultimately is to make Thoroughfare, and I said this to the state legislators when I testified a few months ago, that my vision of Thoroughfare is to become another Williamsburg. And it can do that. It can be a historical interpretive area where people can come and learn about the plantations, the Carter family, the land that they owned, the Battle of Thoroughfare Gap, which lost about 150 soldiers, are buried in Thoroughfare Preserve, which is an historic site and partly under the Park Service, and there are structures there that go back to pre-Civil War. One structure that I saw recently they're trying to preserve. Recently, I've been in discussions with some graduate students at George Mason University. Interestingly enough, they came to us and they want to do research on Thoroughfare. And I asked them why. And they said because it's a topic that is worthy of, you know, in-depth research, what they've read, and their department share, I guess, as graduate students, first-year students, to take on projects. So we are incorporating a couple of the students working with us to do extensive research on Thoroughfare. One of the things we're asking them to do is take a look at the treaties, because the treaties protect not only the Native Americans, because there are specific codes in the cemetery regulations that protect Native American burial sites, which has federal oversight through the Park Service. But we're asking them to take a look at the treaties that affect the land in particular. The will in itself that the Carter family had after John Carter passed, I guess it was Edward Carter really during his death, one of the things that he talked about in his will was the slaves that were actually, because he died in a mill accident, sold. His wife had to sell off the assets, and they were considered assets to other families. There is a lot of history there. If you've been to Williamsburg, it gives you a very, Hollywood view of what a colonial township looked like. In the case of Thoroughfare, we want to present an actual land that encompasses 200 acres or so of what took place on the land. And the Park Service established a marker on the road which discusses Thoroughfare's history in detail on Thoroughfare Road. Thoroughfare itself encompasses right now, with the Department of Historic Resources, there's 130 acres that they're looking at to establish what they call this Thoroughfare Historic District, and that's on John Marshall Highway, Route 55, and it goes through Thoroughfare Road, Beverly Road, and Beverly Mill Road, which is where the mill is. So Thoroughfare is going to, we're sure, is going to get its historic designation again. And that's one of the first steps that we have to take on that particular issue, forgetting the legal stuff we're dealing with, the Scott Cemetery, to reestablish Thoroughfare as a rural historic community that has to be preserved. And it abuts the Leopold Preserve, which is already an historic site. And then across the road and down the road about a mile is the Chapman Mill. And there's a burial grounds in back of the Chapman Mill of soldiers and slaves, because that's where they worked. So we are not working with the University of Virginia yet, but we are in touch with George Mason University and starting a relationship there. And this takes time, and we understand that, but there is momentum that's building because of the historic nature of the area and what took place in the settlement and the history of that area and the Battle of Thoroughfare Gap. And eventually, there's a story, too, that has been passed on to me that actually the Battle of Thoroughfare Gap was Confederates seemed to have the upper hand, but then that preceded the two battles of Manassas. And when the second battle took place during the second battle of Manassas and Bull Run, the Confederates kind of conceded. And one of the generals from the Union Army came through that were under, reported to Sherman, and after they burnt down several of the mansions, because there's actually posts on this railroad track by the mill that have the burnt marks, but the mansions are not there, thought the area was so beautiful, they just turned the area over to the freedmen and to the Native Americans. So there's a lot of rich history and stories that have been passed down to us about that. But yes, you can come and visit. You can drive around and you can see where there's a sign for Thoroughfare Park. You can see that godforsaken brewery at the beginning of the landmarker. But you can go to the mill. You can go visit Oakham Church. You can go visit Bull Run Mountain and Leopold Preserve. There is so much there to see and to visit, and not to imagine, but to see and look at. By the way, we're having our first Celebrate Thoroughfare Day. We're planning for June 3rd, and we're working on that as well to celebrate Thoroughfare. And it'll be headquartered at the Oakham Churches, which is like the center of our activities right now on Thoroughfare Road. So you can look for more of that that will be announced on Facebook and in the newspapers and other things. But yes, we are beginning to work with the universities. And I thank you for that question.
Let's take this off the call and see if that caller may have a question or comment. Caller, we're going to bring you in at 4298. 4298. Any question or comment, please?
Thank you. Thank you. And greetings to everyone. I really don't have much of a question. I was just glad to see that there are people who are working on political consciousness raising around this issue, and that, you know, information is empowering, and I appreciate it. It goes to show that there's no clear lines between the races. There's just a human race, and that this pigmentation of the skin is not that important as the intermingling of the people show. And so, you know, it's good to know that there are people concerned about our history, and they're researching and defending our past. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Thank you, caller. You know, Brother Harvey and Brother John, it seems to me that this is a problem that is going on all over the country and the world, where corporate America is just taking and depossessing the everyday brothers and sisters' land and properties. Now, I'm just wondering, Are there any collaboration with other cities around the country, even around the world, where this is going on, that y'all might be working together to see how you can fight the state and the developers a lot more stronger?
Harvey, you take that.
Go ahead, John, if you want to take that.
So the answer is not in a formal sense, but in an informal sense, absolutely. So we've had several spirited protests, dozens of protesters picketing the brewery, and the leadership of the Moses Cemetery struggle from Macedonian Baptist Church. The pastor came and spoke at our event, and a couple months ago, Joanne Bonnier-Reese and I drove to Annapolis, and we spoke at their event. So there's absolutely an awareness of the link, and I think that, you know, the brother talked about building political consciousness around this issue, and he talked about how, you know, the boundaries, the skin boundaries, don't really count for that much when it comes to struggle. So, for example, you know, I'm speaking as a settler, and I'm involved as a settler, so I think that, you know, this issue is an important issue throughout the United States, but particularly east of the Mississippi River. And so I think there's a great opportunity for people to work together. And it's not just Black cemeteries and Native American cemeteries. It's white family cemeteries as well. The developers really don't care. So it's an important issue. You know, it represents the dignity of the ancestors. And, it's a continuation of 500 years of genocide, to be blunt about it. This is not a land use issue, not a legal issue in the end. It's a question of genocide, and it's a question of standing up, standing together, and fighting together.
Now, there is an organization, and I'm going to get the exact name for it, that is registering the Black cemeteries, trying to network them, and I'll give you that a little later on in the show, because I want to make sure I get the exact information right and people can go to their website. There's also the National Trust for Historic Preservation, which is taking a very, very serious interest in this whole business of historic sites. I don't want to say Black cemeteries, but historic sites in general. And the Department of Historic Resources is now beginning to examine funding activities to redocument Black cemeteries and Black historic sites. And they're taking a very proactive approach to trying to do this. So there's things that are happening, but the networking, to answer your question, Brother Lee, the networking of this information is extremely important because, again, it's an educational process. Now, I've received calls, like I say, from individuals because they all of a sudden realize that, well, my family cemetery is down that road, but I can't get to it because there's a roadblock up and they're building across the street. What do I do to protect that land? And so this is a different kind of civil rights struggle. It's the same struggle. It has a different, you know, the subject matter is different. We're talking about ancestral burial grounds, which is the bedrock of our history. So things are happening, albeit at a very slower pace, but they are happening. I'm going to get this information because there are two organizations I want to share with the audience before we close. about this whole black cemeteries and another one, but I just want to make sure I have the information correctly.
Yeah, listen, audience, you're listening to Missing Pages of History, MPH Radio. You can catch us on a bi-weekly basis every other Saturday, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. What we're going to do right now, we're going to go to a station break with Music with a Purpose. Music with Purpose, and when we come back, we will ask our guests to give us a closing remark on the theme, Land Where My People Rest, Community and Struggle, and how we can get in touch with them, and how can we support them. We can ask them to share that information when we come back, and remind you again that if you have any questions or comments, you can always email us at mphradio@yahoo.com. So we're going to take our station break, and we'll come back with our closing thoughts from our guests today. And one of the major things we want to hear from them is, how can the community get involved? We'll be right back. This is MPH Radio. We'll be right back. We'd like to welcome you back to the MPH Radio. I'm just wondering, is this one of those cases that they don't care about us? Do they really care about African burial grounds? Brother Malcolm once taught us that history is best to reward those who research. We're speaking with Brother John Standback and Brother Harvey Jones. They are community activists. They're trying to preserve their community, which is our community. You're talking about these African burial grounds. It seems like this stuff is taking place all over the country and the world. We will ask them at this point in time to give us a final thought on that struggle, where today the missing page that we are filling in is the land where my people rest, communities and struggle. So I start off with Brother Harvey. Can you share information with us, your final thoughts on this area, and how can our listening audience support your struggle, our struggle, and the people of Thoroughfare? Brother Harvey.
There are several things that the community, that people can do. Of course, we're in the process of trying to raise funds to support our legal effort to overcome the desecration of our burial, some of the burial grounds in Thoroughfare. That's number one. And we are accepting donations for that to do that. Number two, to get online, to write your representatives about Thoroughfare and what's taking place and what action have they taken place to assure the county is living up to its fiduciary responsibility. I have an email that I'd like to give to anyone who would like to contact me so I can direct them as to where they can send donations if they choose to do that. One of the places that they can send the donations is we have a post office box, but what I'd like to do is give them more specificity because it's a tax-deductible donation that they can send out to our post office box if they choose to do that, and I will have that post office box information here somewhere. I'd like to make
who
sure the information...
Who do they write the donation out to, Brother Harvey?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Who do they write the donation out to?
Oh, they can write it out to the Coalition to Preserve Thoroughfare.
P.O. Box?
And the P.O. Box, as I said in front of me, I have so much information, I hope you forgive me. If you move
it's
on
not,
to John.
Just leave, if
I,
not,
I
you're going to leave your if not, you can always leave your email where they can contact you directly and you give them all the information they need. So it's your choice.
Now I'm going to give you the post office box. I have it right here. Post office box 140. Broad Run, Virginia, 20137. And the donation can be made out to the Coalition to Preserve Historic Thoroughfare. And it is a tax-deductible donation and we're accepting donations of any kind. Equally important, it's important for people to get involved. There are numerous articles that have been published on NBC News, if you go to their website, New York Times, CBS, discussing the assault on black cemeteries and black burial grounds. To educate yourself, go to Google, to Google Thoroughfare. And there's a plethora of information about Thoroughfare itself. The state of Virginia, the Department of Historic Resources, getting involved, and they have a lot of information. But if you just want general information, you can visit the Coalition to Save Historic Thoroughfare on Facebook or contact us at the post office box and we'll respond to you. On Facebook, we have a few videos that we've been made to show the grounds that have been desecrated. And commentary by Frank Washington about what has taken place. So the information is there. The avenues are there to support us. It's an ongoing effort, and we're open to your support and to your involvement.
We thank you, Father Harvey, for your we thank you for your contribution to today's program, and we're going to go now to Brother John. Any final thoughts, Brother John, and how can they contact you and support the work that you're ongoing doing as well?
So my final thoughts are that this is all of our struggle. I mean, this is an important part of history. There has been and continues to be a systemic effort to obliterate African-American and Native American history, to wipe it out in its community, the Native American community. It's that the heritage of all of us, and all of us need to be involved in the struggle. So on a very prosaic note, we have a GoFundMe page. So if you go to GoFundMe and you search for Thoroughfare Coalition, it will pop up. And because we are a 501c3 through the Okrum Baptist Church, 100% of your donation, if you go to GoFundMe, goes directly to our campaign. So that's a very easy way to do it, and know that 100% of a tax-deductible contribution is going directly to us. So I wanted to say that. People need to keep your eyes open. We need everyone in Virginia and the Mid-Atlantic region at least to make an effort to come on June the 3rd for Thoroughfare Day. It's going to be a family affair. I'm coordinating activities for children and young people. We're going to be having a lot of really exciting programs and speakers. And just remember, it's the same struggle. It's the same fight. We are in this together. And I very much appreciate, Brother Africa, your providing your program for this very, very important issue. Thank you so much.
And we thank y'all for helping us fill in this page of missing history as it relates to the struggle of African burial grounds. Now, before you leave, if people would like to invite y'all to their community or on their different platforms, how can they contact y'all directly?
All right, so email is best, and it's my name, so it's very easy. It's JohnSteinbach, number one. So it's johnsteinbach1@verizon.net. So if you get in touch with me, I will respond.
And my email is my email is hdjones4@verizon.net. Write me any questions you have. If you were looking for information, guidance, or anything, or getting involved, please email me and I will respond to you.
We'd like to thank our guests today, John Steinbach and Harvey Martin. Harvey Jones was sharing their perspectives dealing with African burial ground and the community of Thoroughfare. And we just want to let them know if anything come up, they need to get information out. MPH Radio here for them. This is why we create this entity, create this, what we hope it become an institution for our people. So feel free to call us anytime. In closing out, I'll go to my co-host, Brother Alex. I'd like to get some final thoughts on him on today's program. And then we'll close out until the next time, which will be April the 29th at 1 p.m., same time, same station, spread the word. And Brother Alex, your final thoughts for tonight.
Well, as always, Mr. Lee, you have given us a program that we need to take to heart and realize that our history is our culture. They intertwine it with each other. And if we forget the ones who came before us, it is hard to learn lessons of enchantment where we can go forward and be the people that our ancestors dreamed that we would be. See, they had dreams also of us being together, as I said, as a family of men. Even though bounded here in chains, and even the free men that wanted this whole continent as Indians, this was their land. And thank God that they took in so many Africans that had escaped the plantation life or had bought their freedom. And they sought to stand as free men. And together, you know, they bonded as a community. So when we look at where we go, who we are, what we can do, we all should realize that, yes, we are people, and we are one people. We're God's people. But once we try and separate that idea that one is better than the other or should be uplifted more than so, and they become gods themselves, that's when they turn on each other. So we have to move forward and realize that in this world, to move together, we have to stay organized, stay focused, and remember the simple rules that our ancestors taught us. Love the land. Love the people. Love each other. And again, I thank you for a great show, Mr. Latham. This has been a wonderful day.
And we thank you, Brother Alex, for your contribution always. And we'd like to wish you a happy birthday. And hope on that day you have a great day because you deserve it. You're not a greater person as principal and as hardworking as you are. You're the hardest working man I know. So have a happy birthday to our listening audience. We are very, very thankful that you allowed us to come to your homes this evening. We're feeling our missing page, or land where my people rest, communities in struggle. And we would like to encourage you and remind you to support our TV show. We have a TV show on that comes on seasonal during the year. We are on now in the Richmond metropolitan area in the state of Virginia. If you have access to Comcast cable network, you can see us every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. on channel 95. And you have Verizon Network cable companies. You can see us on channel 65 on Comcast and channel 95. And if you'd like to call in friend and support our MPH Radio, please email us. Let us know. We can tell you how you can do that. We are open membership. We want to build this institution. We need writers, these people who can, marketing, all the things it takes to create a great communication vehicle. We need your help. We need your support. We need your skills. We are no more greater than the community. Come and join us. So until the 29th of April, we'd like to thank you for joining us. And remember, let's continue to strive to go down the road of liberation. And one of the best steps we can take to ensure that our people will get victory is by making sure that we fill in our missing pages of history. It's our history that will be our guide, that will direct us toward the future of how we can achieve our liberation and freedom. So until next time, remember, we are here for you, and we'll leave you with a message from Alicia Keys. This has been MPH Radio. We'll see you on the 29th. Spread the word. Email us, mphradio@yahoo.com.
We are here. Baghdad, trying to get something we never had. Let's start with a good dad. So real, but it's so sad. And while we burning this incense, we gon' pray for the innocent. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about Chi-Town. Let's talk about Gaza. Let's talk about Israel. Right now with Israel. Let's talk Nigeria in the mass hysteria. Yeah, our souls were brought together so that we could love each other, brother. We in the nation with no support for education. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about our part. My heart touch your heart. Let's talk about living. Had enough of dying. That's what we all about. Let's do more giving. Do more forgiving. Yeah. Our souls are brought together so that we could love each other. Sister, we are here. We are here for all of us. We are here for all of us. That's why we are here. Why we are here.
gun control to sound so. Shooting rockets to the moon, kids going up to soon. Politicians say more taxes will solve everything.
And the band played on.
Rising fast, the Beatles' new records again.
And the only safe place to live is on an Indian reservation.
And the band played on.
Eve of destruction, tax deduction.
City inspectors, bill collectors,
hardcore Indian man, population out of hand.
Suicide, too many bills, hippies moving to the hills. People all over the world are shouting in the war.
And the band played on.
No day or night,
Which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. It's 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on a dock of the bay, wasting time.
sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. What 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. It's 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of a bay, watching the tide.